Good to see you all tonight. Good to be here with you all. I'll be honest, because of the time change, it felt very weird how dark it was coming here tonight. And I look at the clock and I'm like, I feel like we should be somewhere by now. But nope. My car says it's 8 o'clock, but that's because I ain't driven it since the time change, which is weird. Okay, we are in Proverbs chapter 5. We are on our last two application and discussion questions. Chapter 5, we've been dealing mostly with the issue of the peril of adultery. You may have a overhead in your Bible that says something along those lines. You know, we talk about Solomon telling his son to watch out. Don't pursue the adulterous person. Don't involve yourself in it at all. Don't involve yourself with another person's spouse. Be happy, content. Work on your relationship with your own spouse. And so we discussed that. We had a good discussion last week about major issues that drive a person to immorality. And tonight, we're going to pick up with question two of our application questions. But first, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time. Thank you for another wonderful day of life on this earth. We thank you for bringing us all together in safety. We thank you for bringing us in good health and being able to be here tonight and to gather together as like-minded individuals so that we can encourage and uplift one another and spend time with one another. And most importantly, Lord, be in your word. We're appreciative of this time that we can open your word, look into the scriptures, see all the wisdom that you've provided for us. And we pray that we may have our minds and our hearts open so that we can look into these words of wisdom and be able to not only just read them or know what they say, but to understand them and to look at our lives and see where we can improve with these things. We pray that you may help us to be wiser in our own lives. Help us to grow spiritually. Help us to grow in love towards you. Help us to grow in reverence towards you, that we may better serve you each and every day of our lives, that we may better know how to answer temptation, better know how to answer difficult situations and difficult circumstances that may arise in our lives. Help us in all that we say and do, that we may serve you and that we may be a light shining to those around us and bring others to you. We pray your forgiveness over our sins as we come before you. We recognize that we fall short of your glory. We pray that you strengthen us and uplift us and help us to better answer temptations in the future and better serve you each and every day, so that once this life is over, we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We're thankful for the forgiveness that we find in Christ Jesus. We're thankful for his blood being shed on the cross for us all. We're thankful for what that means for us, for the salvation, for the redemption that we have through him. We pray that we may live up to that, Lord. We pray that we may live worthy of that. Help us each and every day of our lives and guide us and be with us. Lord, we ask that you also be with our friends and family and brethren who have been dealing with illness. We pray that you be with those that are sick, those that are recovering from surgeries, those that are having difficult times and chronic health issues. You pray that you comfort all these, Lord, that you uplift them and help them and heal them and be with them in as any way that you can. And we pray that you be with those traveling, be with those away from us, and bring them back to us safely. Go with us through the study, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds, and we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, we are in Proverbs chapter 5, application question 2. We're getting to a very interesting, very controversial thought. Because of the internet, it is now easier than ever to meet someone online to chat with, access pornographic content, and keep it all completely hidden. Are these avenues just as sinful as physical immorality? Why or why not? Okay. You're referencing what Jesus said about in Matthew chapter 5. You know, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. I say to you, don't even look at a woman with lust in your heart. If you do that, you've already committed adultery with her in your own heart and in your own mind. Very good. Any other thoughts? Clint? You're warping your own mindset. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I like that you said addiction, because that is more than true. You have no idea how many people out in the world are affected by this issue. And it's an addiction for them. It is something that they cannot seem to put down. And I think we've mentioned before when we've made little hints about addiction. I've heard it described like this. It takes 30 days, at least 30 days, for your brain to reset from an addiction. And I'm paraphrasing, of course. But the idea there is that if there's an addiction, there is work involved in breaking the addiction. You know? We don't know how it starts with people. Sometimes it comes across as accident. Sometimes it's you go out and pursue it. But once you start investing your time in it and energy into it, whew. Yep, you're absolutely right about that. And nobody said that those 30 days were easy either. I've heard it described that, you know, after a few days, you're just suffering because you're not allowing yourself to access this content. You're trying to break this cycle, but it's pain because you got so used to it. And your mind, you know, when you watch this stuff, here's what I've heard. If you watch this stuff, it's tricking your brain into thinking that you're in this scenario, these scenarios you're watching. You're tricking your mind into thinking you are having these experiences, but you're not. And that's a dangerous situation to be in. Miss Sue. Yeah. You know, go back to what we talked about within the chapter. You know? Rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, always be enraptured with her love. Why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman or be embraced in the arms of a seductress? You know, I wouldn't say we want to add to that, but in the same line of thinking, you know, don't let a computer replace your wife. Don't let a video or set of pictures replace the experience that you're supposed to be having with your spouse. Don, do you have a comment? that's absolutely right, you know. There's so many people that are online and we can get involved with. There are websites that specialize in meeting people to talk to and chase this thrill of the cheat, if you will. And, you know, got to be careful with that. Johnny. Of course. Absolutely right. You know, I have actually written in my own notes about this question, and Solomon says, when he writes Ecclesiastes, wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Kind of to Johnny's point here. You know, the internet is new, technologically speaking, but what we do on there, that's been done for centuries. And, you know, we got to recognize that this is sin. Plain and simple. And I don't know about you, but I've heard people try to say otherwise, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing people trying to say otherwise. Going back to that verse, you know, if there was anything that could be classified as new under the sun in the grand scheme of things, it would be internet, technology, despite how new it is. All the stuff that's on there, you know, to Johnny's point, again, it's no different than what has been going on. And not just in the realm of adultery. You get lies, manipulation, catfishing on social media, news outlets fabricating the truth. You get people abusing one another, cyberbullying, gossip. And then we get this. Pornographic material, being able to chat with people, being able to meet people. And it's all just as bad. It's all just as sinful. Y'all have a comment, Johnny? Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like you said, it's just all the internet did was make it easier. Clint. Thank you. Absolutely. And, you know, that is something that can get forgotten if you consume enough of that content. Or something you've never learned or taken seriously, if you pursued that comment and have not disposed of it before getting into a marriage relationship. Jim. The less that's out there, the better. The less that's out there to consume, the less it's going to get consumed. At least that's the hope. Because there's so much messed up stuff within this umbrella of pornography and, you know, we can definitely have some hard and long talks about it. But, you know, getting back to what's right in the sight of God. Keeping your eyes on the one you're married to. Keeping your eyes on them. Uplifting them in your own heart and your mind. Treating, you know, call it holy matrimony. Treat it as holy. This is supposed to be one of the greatest gifts in the physical realm, is being able to have this lifelong companion to build a relationship with, a family with, a whole life together with. And nobody should ever want to throw that away for some videos or pornographic content online. They shouldn't want to throw it away from some person they're talking to over Facebook. They shouldn't want to throw it away for somebody they meet at Dairy Queen. And the sooner we, and I mean we as in a people, not just we here, but the sooner that we as a people get that through to us, be much better. Any other thoughts or comments about this stuff? Alrighty. Question 3 of our application discussion question is going to be a little less heavy with this one. Knowing that God sees all things, what should our response be when we fall into sin? Repent. Absolutely. What does repent mean? Turn away. Turn back. Don't do it again. At least try your best not to do it again, because that temptation is always going to be there. Change your heart. Change your mind. What else? Confess our sins. Somebody read 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, if you don't mind. 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10. Okay, thank you. He sees all things. And so even if we think we're hiding it, even if we never confess to it, even if we lie through our teeth about, I never did that, God knows. He's got the record of it. There's no reason to lie to him, because guess what? We make him out to be a liar. Is he a liar? No. We know that he sees all things. And so when he brings up that record of wrongdoings and says, yes, you did, that's going to be a moment of speechlessness. And so what are we told here? Confess. God already knows. So telling him what he knows, that you know he knows, and that, more importantly, you recognize that that was not righteous, that that was sinful in his sight. And what does it say? He's faithful and just to forgive us if we have repented and have confessed. Clint. You know, I watched a video yesterday of this guy talking about, you know, this cycle of shame, this, you know, this shame that he felt, you know, that gave him some drive to get better, but ultimately it led to feeling inadequate, feeling like a mess up, and then it's right back to sin again. You know, it's... Absolutely. You know, once you were his by sinning, he's going to try to drag you back. He's going to try to use those weaknesses against us. But if we go to God, admitting those weaknesses, saying, hey, I've had this problem. Help me to heal. Help me to get over this problem. Help me to seek you and not this sin. That's the confession of all confessions right there, if you ask me. Andre, just see your hand.
Just that confession has to be from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be heartfelt. You have to know that you hurt God, offended God, and separated yourself from the love of God and from whomever else you might have hurt.
You know, that thought reminds me of a song that's in our songbooks. It's called I'm the One. If y'all remember that one. The verses of that song basically saying, you know, I wasn't there to watch Jesus die. I wasn't there for that experience. I was not involved at all, physically speaking. But the pre-chorus says, every time I sin on earth, I feel like I'm the one. And that chorus, I'm the one who made his cross high. I'm the one who shouted crucify. I'm the one who watched him die. That's what it should feel like. And that's good. If it feels like that, that's good. Because if it doesn't feel like that, you're going to do it again. And you're going to do it again. And you're going to do it again. Until what? Completely lost. Or you come in here and you wear your mask and put on this facade of perfection among the brethren. No. No more. We should realize Your life matters in the sight of God. You are here today, and you are seen by God. Just as Jesus says, even those little sparrows, those cheap sparrows sold for 2 for a penny in the marketplace, God sees them. How much more does he see you? He doesn't want you to continue in this path of sin. I like what Andre says about it hurts him. Not like anything can physically hurt God, but at the same time, we get this image that we're hurting this relationship that we're supposed to have with God. We are going against the very thing that he stands for. And we are pursuing the things that Jesus died so that you could be forgiven of. Why would we want to do that? Just as Paul says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So whenever we sin, it should hurt. It should feel painful. But let that pain turn into resolve to be better in the sight of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at let's start in verse 8. You know, the church of Corinth, they had issues. And so Paul wrote the first letter, and now he writes the second letter. And among the verses he says, verse 8 beginning, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you." You know, like we said, they had their issues. They had, you know, infidelity within the church. They had divisions. I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas. But once Paul gave them that first letter, that was their wake-up call. That was their saying, let's get in check. Let's make efforts. Let's do what's right. Let's fix this church. And godly sorrow produced repentance. It produced diligence. It produced vehement desire and zeal. We got to make sure that we are feeling the right type of sorrow, not worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is a cycle of its own. It's that guilt that you feel without forgiveness. It's that self-deprecation. It's that feeling that you could never be fixed. But Scripture teaches otherwise. Godly sorrow says otherwise. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. It brings forth this desire to change your heart and mind, to turn around, to confess these things to God and ask for help and for resolve to find the means to get rid of sin from your life. Johnny, you have something? It's a perfect analogy right there. Judas and Peter, two apostles of Jesus, both experienced sorrow in some sort of way, but one led to him hanging himself, and the other, he became one of the great apostles as seen in Acts, and he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. He turned his sin into repentance and into resolve and into who we read of him as in the scriptures. Real quick, Clint, we're out of time. We need to fix ourselves. It starts with that. Thank you. Alrighty. We've got a little bit of business to discuss with y'all. We're on a couple of weeks break. I was informed by Jim a minute ago that next week we are going to be having a guest speaker. Forgot his name already. I'm terrible with names. Luis Barrios, one of the preachers we support. He's going to be by on Wednesday night. He's going to speak to us on Wednesday night. And then the Wednesday after that is going to be our singing night. Okay? So, we will get back together with the Proverbs in chapter 6, 26th. Right before Thanksgiving. That's the best holiday right there. I'm ready for turkey. I don't know about y'all.